If you have your Bible, turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 12 this morning. Nehemiah chapter 12. Just going to read a couple verses from Nehemiah. Probably fairly some familiar verses to you. We don't read a lot from Nehemiah, but these will probably be familiar. Nehemiah chapter 12, starting in verse 27. And you can go back and read all this introduction to what's being said here, but what we have is preparation. And at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites out of all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to keep the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgiving and with singing and cymbals and psalteries and with harps. And the sons of the singers gathered themselves together, both out of the plain country round about Jerusalem and all the village thereof. Father, we do thank you for who you are and what you're about, even as Pastor reminded us in this song and actually the whole courses that we sang today. You are God. There is none beside thee. You are sovereign in all things. Our hearts and our minds belong to you, and we should be rejoicing in that every day, every moment. Lord, I know and recognize that each of us have a personality. And sometimes we have gloomy Pete's and sometimes we have bright, shining personalities. Those things shall not hinder us from worshiping you in spirit and in truth, in gladness and song and celebration. So be with us now as we think about these things this morning and our hearts drawn to your throne of grace. Speak to us. Lift us up. I think we need some encouragement this morning, Lord. So do just that. For these things I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I don't know about you, but sometimes I've been a little depressed, been a little bit angry. Have you found yourself being angry? Just turn that TV off. Just turn it off. It seems like you were just being barraged with all kinds of stuff all the time, all over the place. And so I thought, maybe we need to think about who we are and what we're about. Even in this world, God still reigns supreme. There's some festivals, there's some celebrations that we have in America, and sometimes they're fun. Halloween's kind of a fun thing for a lot of people. It's not one of my favorites, but nevertheless, there is that. But we have the New Year's Day celebration. Some folks really get into that. They really like it, because they like to drink, they like to get drunk, and they like to lay in the gutter. I don't understand it, I just want to go to bed, not anybody shoot at me, and I'll get up the next day and say, new day. But we have that. We have Martin Luther King Jr. Holiday. We have a Valentine's holiday. That's for the lovers among us, we have President's Day. We have St. Patrick's Day, wearing the green. Actually, it's a funny thing. I always ask this question because nobody knows it. What color should we be wearing? Orange, exactly. Who said orange? Kim, did you say that? Judy did. If you're Roman Catholic, you're wearing green. But they want to make everybody Irish that day, so everybody wear green. Okay. It's okay. It's all right. You don't want to get pinched at school, so go ahead and register. But, we have St. Patrick's Day. We have April Fool's Day. I always liked that day. I was always a little bit, and all that. But then we have actual holidays like Good Friday. Which commemorates the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. We have Easter, which celebrates the resurrection of the Lord. Our Jewish friends still celebrate Passover. I'm aware and understand, that's on the 14th day of Nisan. I always thought Nissan was a car out here. I think Joey's got one. We have Mother's Day, and boy, you guys better not forget Mother's Day, that's for sure. Memorial Day, Father's Day. Isn't it always funny? The ladies get candies and flowers and all that kind of stuff on Mother's Day, and the guys get... we have Labor Day, Columbus Day, Veterans Day, Thanksgiving. I like Thanksgiving because I like to eat, And, of course, we have Christmas. And, of course, if you're, can't find any other day, then you got Kwanzaa. Nobody knows what that is. It was, developed in 1966. I don't know. Out in California. So we have all those days to celebrate. And, I think it does us good to put a smile on our face. Matthew, and when we used to travel and you and Todd would be grouchy and fighting in the back, emulating their father, I would turn around and I sometimes would say what? Okay? Put a smile on that face. And I don't want to hear any more fighting. Let's put a smile. So let's put a smile on our face and the love of the Lord in our hearts and rekindle that in every day. Not just today, but every day. And so, to start us off with, I've asked Elsie to start us off this morning. And he's going to, listen, he's right back there. He's going to project. Now, listen to him. He's got something very profound to say. It's hard to find that, I'll tell you. Al, we got a couple here.
Father Murphy went out one Saturday to visit his parishioners. At one house, it was obvious that someone was home, but nobody came to the door, though the priest had knocked several times. Finally, he took out his card and wrote Revelation 3:22 on the back of it and stuck it in the door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anybody hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and him with me. The next day, the card turned up in a collection plate. Before Father Murphy's message was this notation, Genesis 3:10. I heard your voice in the garden, and I was naked.
Thank you, Al. That was beautiful reading that.
And we got
another joke. Here we go. One more.
What's the difference between a lawyer and a jellyfish? And the answer, one is a spineless, poisonous wild. The other is a form of sea life.
And I saved the best to the last, didn't get the funniest ones, I think. Well, you know, it does us good. Matter of fact, psychologists tell us that each time that we smile or we laugh or something, we release endorphins, that does us good. They say it's like throwing a party in your mind. So let's put some party stuff in our mind. My mind's getting awfully dull, getting awfully clouded. So let's do that. And of course, you know, we know there's surprising health benefits to smiling and all those kind of things. And gentlemen, I read this too. Guys, women say, if you're smiling, we're more attractive to them. Yeah. Women perceive men who smile as being more intelligent than others. Yeah. Okay, so put a smile on your face, guys, you know. Well, enough of the pop psychology. However, it is a proven fact that smiling and laughing and celebrating life lowers our blood pressure. And when we lower our blood pressure, we're in the lifespan that we have, we're going to have better health and live longer. You know, I did not believe that the Bible doesn't celebrate. I think it's just the opposite. I think it's talking about celebration constantly, actually. And it should be an integral part of us and our lives as believers. And right here in Nehemiah, we have the children of Israel had come back from Babylon, been in captivity. You know, they hung their harps, the psalmist says, in the willows. And how could they sing their songs of Zion in a foreign land? Well, now they're back home. And they have celebration. They're dedicating the wall of Jerusalem. Of course, you remember that the wall was dropped down, the temple was assaulted, all those kind of things. So they're starting to rebuild all those kind of things. And so they're rebuilding the wall, and they're celebrating. And it says that they sought all the Levites out all over the place. They went and got them all over the place and brought them back to Jerusalem that they might declare with what? Gladness and thanksgiving. And with singing and psalteries and cymbals and harps. And then they got the singers together. Isn't it good to have singers together who can sing some songs? You know, we used to have, years and years ago when we were on the old side, there were these five sisters. And they were just like that. And we invited them to come over. And I never forget one of the songs they sang. They had great harmony, of course. It was, get all excited, tell everybody that Jesus Christ is Lord. And they didn't quite understand that we were Baptists. And they were just moving all over the place, you know, and just having a great time. And, you know, for 3 or 4 days afterwards, I had counseling with people. It's all right. Don't blow a gasket. You're all right. It's a shame, isn't it? Well, listen, we've been set free from the bondage of sin. They were set free from the bondage in Babylon. The children of Israel were coming back to the promised land. They were rejoicing in the Lord God Almighty that had delivered them once again. Listen, my brothers and sisters, without a joyful spirit of celebration in Christ Jesus, the believer becomes, I think, dull, lethargic, maybe boring. Instead of inviting an invitation and with confidence appearing and living, the old man somehow sucks that energy of the Spirit out of us. And we just go, oh, woe is me, woe is me. Our invitation to those who know not Jesus is to invite them to come to God's great banquet, isn't it? It's a celebration. No more weeping, no more crying here. Over in Luke chapter 4, Jesus says, and he tells a story about going out in the highways and the byways and compelling them to come in to his house that his house might be full. If we're dry, if we're, oh gosh, I don't want to go to church this morning. Oh man, you know, pull the cover over our head, you know. And my wife says, you got to go, you're the preacher, you know. We've gotta recapture. When you first came a Christian, I bet you were excited. I bet you told people about Jesus. Probably told them in ways that weren't probably very, good, you know. Like I told you, there was this young man that I was witnessing to, and I just blurted it out in the mailroom, and hundreds of guys, you know, Greg, if you don't get Jesus in your life, you're gonna go to hell. The whole room. You know. Well, but I was excited. And I think we should be excited. We should be thankful. There should be an energy about who we are and what we're about in Christ, because he is the living Lord of glory. And we have, through his Spirit, we have been adopted into that forever family. And we have got this possession of life that we never had before. Celebration, I think, should be basically an attitude that we cultivate every day. Why? Because we have something to be joyful about. Our sins are forgiven. We've become part of the redeemed of God of all ages. Somebody has said all this and heaven too. We ought to be happy about things. We ought to be a joy in our hearts. When we celebrate, we should celebrate because of what God has done in our lives, not what the circumstances around in the world are, but what God is doing in and through us and through others. And God is working. God is working in all kinds of ways. Isn't it a marvelous thing to see those kids' faces when they get those shoe boxes and things like that? It is. Ah, man. You know, when I was in Croatia, we went to Croatia, and of course we were over there one year after the war, old Yugoslavia, dissolved, and so you had Croatia, and oh gosh, I can't think of the other two countries. Anyway, they were fighting each other, and so we were after that. And so we're there in this place, and the pastor that we were staying with was a national hero. We didn't know that. We just thought he was a normal guy. We went out. We were there for Easter. We went to a little place, a little hardware store, and we were trying to order 1,000 light bulbs. And this little store was maybe as big as from the wall over there to this wall. Not exactly Menards or Lowell's. But they had a nail on the wall. If you wanted that size nail, he'd get you some. If you know... he just had one of them, and you just looked at it, and okay. So we wanted to have 1,000 light bulbs. The guy, of course, thought something's being lost in translation here, you know. And so he kept arguing back and forth, and finally, when he realized that we really did want 1,000 light bulbs, man, sale of the century. You know, he was excited. There was one caveat, though. He said, we'll get those here tomorrow, but you've got to meet us tomorrow morning right here in front of the store, because I have no place to store them. When they come out of the truck, you've got to take them, and you've got to get ready to deliver them yourself. Or else, he said, we can put them on the sidewalk. They won't be here the next day. And we went around passing we had this printer make us up a card inviting people to come to the church there in this little Kalavats, in this little city. And our pastor was, like I said, a national hero. I didn't know that. And we went to we went all over the place, but we went to these three apartment houses. I think there were three elevators. One worked. If there was 10 floors, there was maybe 10 light bulbs that worked in the building. It was horrible. Dark, dank, and just. But we went there and we were talking, knocking on the door. We're giving an invitation. I invited these people to come to church. And the pastor said, well, only Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons do that. We don't want to be associated with those people. And so one of our guys said, call this pastor. And because they did some sermon evangelism in his church the year before. And he called, and the guy said, well, it's good stuff, you know. And so he reluctantly said he would do it. Sometimes aren't we reluctant? We're reluctant. He was reluctant. He didn't want to do that. I don't want to be, people are going to think I'm a Jehovah's Witness or something. It'll be 10 years correcting that problem. So anyway, he was going up, and he went with David Wheeler. David Wheeler had a translator. We had 4 college kids. And then it was the pastor. So we rang the doorbell. They came to the door. David Wheeler started to talk. Because, you see, everybody in that town saw the pastor standing there and knew who he was. They didn't know who David Wheeler was. And they didn't know who that college kid that was going to translate for us was. They knew him because they recognized him, and they would stick their hands out and they, oh, pastor, what on earth, you know, and they would start talking right there in the hallway. They invited him in and all those kind of things. And about the 4th or 5th door, the pastor told David, he says, you guys can go home. He says, I got this. And you know, I think the building was a long building, their church building. They took all the chairs out for Easter Sunday. The place was packed. People standing, not sitting, standing. The windows were open. It was about 38 degrees. Beautiful morning. And people were outside. And that's the way it was all day long. But you know, part of that was enthusiasm for the word. You see, these people had been pushed down and depressed and oppressed for years and years and years under the communist system. Now they could say and speak out about the gospel if they wanted to, and no one would say a thing. Listen, there is a excitement that should follow us. Over in Luke chapter 2, after the shepherds, it says, returned after seeing the baby Jesus in the manger, it says, they return glorifying and praising the Lord God for all the things that they had heard and seen. You know, some of the problem with us is we haven't heard anything, we haven't seen anything. You know that? We haven't heard anything and we haven't seen anything. It's been so long ago that we got down on our knees and we asked Christ to come into our lives, and that initial excitement has been so long, and you've been listening to such boring preacher as me for 40 years that we don't know anything, we haven't seen anything, and we're not excited. Listen, if Jesus is in your life, you've got the greatest gift of all in you, and you can share that with people. And they will be receptive. They will be receptive. Look, it's never been, nor shall it ever be, that we are God's frozen chosen. That's not the way it is. That was the Pharisees. They were frozen in their dogma about what they thought the Old Testament taught. And that's the reason why they were in constant conflict with Jesus, because Jesus took them back to the original meaning. And the original meaning, as the people heard Jesus talk, they said, wow, we never heard it this way before. They were amazed what wisdom this man has. He teaches one as who has authority, not like the scribes and the Pharisees. Oh, that was a sharp stick in the eye, wasn't it? Listen, we got the story. We can share it. Jesus said over in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but to what? To steal. Now you see, this is a metaphor, isn't it? The thief comes to steal. In your home, he comes to steal what? Your valuables. Your TV set. Your, I don't know what. But Jesus says, the thief comes but to steal. The devil wants to steal, first and foremost, your joy. If he can make you lethargic and listless, half the battle's over. To kill and destroy, our witness is a witness of setting people free in Christ and real life coming into our life. But Jesus says, I have come that you might have life, and you might have it what? More abundantly. We're talking about the wonder of God in his world as he moves in people's everyday, ordinary people's lives, and has turned them upside down, recaptured some from alcohol, recaptured some from drugs, recaptured some from just, I don't know what it is, stuff that we get caught up in. You know, one of the things that most of you don't know this, this is kind of a secret the choir has. Most of the people in the choir know that I can't read a note of music. Most of you don't know that. And you know this also. I only have two notes. I don't know what the others are, but if I can get on that one, I can do pretty good. Because I have a little volume. It's just that I don't know where else to go other than just that, you know. But pastor, you see, when he comes to try to work with the choir, you know what his biggest job is? Is not to straighten me out and teach me music. You know, that's not it. What's his biggest job? Instilling in us the joy of the Lord that we might project that to you in the congregation. Because that's what it's about. We're here to talk about the joy in Christ Jesus.
We're rolling forward to tell everybody. Bert, is that right? That Jesus Christ is Lord.
No. We've got to be excited. You know, in Nehemiah, the primary purpose of this celebration was the dedication of a wall. They weren't to the temple yet. Just the wall. Friends, we should be coming every Sunday to celebrate the Lord Jesus saving our lives. Every Sunday should be Easter Sunday. Every Sunday should be a reminder of what God has done for us and what he is doing and shall do. Ever since Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the garden and ate that forbidden fruit, man has been living under the curse of sin. The reward, what is Paul saying? The wages of sin is what? Death. The wages of sin is death. Eternal separation from God. Unless something happens, that terrible cancer of sin is going to eat us up and destroy us. We'll be forever isolated from God. Solitary confinement. No interaction with other people. Nothing. You know, one of the things that One of the lies that the devil tells people is, well, if you're going to hell, you'll be with your friends, you'll have a great big party. Nothing could be farther from the truth. There's not going to be any interaction in hell. I heard this doctor that was here in Fort Wayne, the abortion doctor, somebody did an interview with him, and they had it on tape, and he said, and this girl was trying to share with him Christ, and he said, well, when I get to heaven with Uncle Hitler and Brother Stalin, I think I said this last week, he's got his elevator going the wrong way. But listen, he's not going to see Hitler either. He's not going to see Stalin. He's going to be in solitary confinement in darkness forever. That's serious stuff. That's serious stuff. Peter says, though, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I always enjoy seeing that great ticker tape celebration in Times Square when it was announced that World War II was over. You've probably seen that a dozen times like I have, maybe more. And of course, that one sailor grabbing that nurse and kissing her and all that kind of cool stuff. Everybody is happy. Everybody is joyful. It's over. The war is over. Listen, in Christ Jesus, the war is over. We're victors in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, that's what God does with us and through us. Paul said, death has lost its sting. The grave has lost its victory in Christ Jesus. Even now, even in this world, this veil of tears, we can have joy. Even now, and should. But one day I'm going to see my mom again. Do you know that? Yeah, I am. I'm going to see my grouchy old dad. I'm going to say, Dad, look what a son you made. I'm as grouchy as you are. My wife has said that all the time. She says, Earl, can you stop that? It's your fault, Dad, but we're here, so let's celebrate. You know, Andre Crouch, I don't know about you guys, but I like him. But he's got Soon and Very Soon, that song. Oh, I like that song. But let me tell you a little story. There was a priest, there was a rabbi, and there was a Baptist preacher. You're saying to yourself, oh no, he's going to really throw, yeah, I'm going to. They had decided to all take a camping trip, and they went up to the high Rocky Mountains area, and they were having a great time tramping all over the place, and they got lost. And they were exhausted. They lost half their equipment. They had no food left but one single slice of bologna. So they decided that the bologna wasn't big enough to divide into three. So they came up with several suggestions as to what to do with the bologna, but they finally came up with this and agreed that everyone would go to sleep. And in the morning when they woke up, they would tell each other or share with each other their best dream. And whoever had the best dream would win the bologna. So the priest woke up at 7 o'clock in the morning. He said, hey, I had a dream last night. I died and I went straight to heaven. Certainly I've won the bologna. The rabbi said, whoop, hold it a minute, bud. Hold it a minute. I too had a dream last night that I died and went to heaven. And St. Peter met me at the gate and said, Jacob, my old friend, come right on in. As you can't beat that. I should win the baloney. And then the Baptist preacher said, wait. He said, you know, I know you guys aren't lying, because I too had a dream that I had died, and both of you were in heaven as well. I saw you. And he said, when I saw that you were in heaven, he said, I cried and cried and cried, because you were both in heaven, and I was then transported back to earth and left by myself. I dreamed that you weren't coming back, so I ate the baloney. Put a smile on that face. The Lord loves a smile. The Lord loves a joyful heart. We shouldn't have too much trouble. Faith, can you smile? Yeah, she can smile. What a smile she's got, too. Amen. Listen, the Lord God Almighty has interjected himself into this world for one purpose and one purpose only, to provide salvation for you and me and everyone, if they but will receive the Lord. That's good news. That's good news in a world that's dying. Father, be with us as we come to this invitation time this morning. Lord, I know that our hearts are heavy sometimes. And sometimes when we have experiences in this life, they're catastrophically detrimental to us. Sometimes they leave such scars as they cannot be healed here in time and space. But Lord, you are the great physician. And you can change that heart of stone. Do surgery and transplant a new heart of flesh in us. Take the blinders off and let us see what you have for us. And let us be your people rejoicing in Jesus. For it's in his sweet, sweet name we pray. Amen.